right after the international.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Sporty greetings, Nnamdi.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Nnamdi, on July 24th, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury will fight for a third time. Their first bout ended in a draw in 2018, and then Fury stopped Wilder in seven rounds in February of 2020. Are both fighters ready for this third bout?
Both fighters, they've been training, but they haven't stepped it up. Tyson Fury went into camp, and then Deontay has been posting videos and making noise with his new trainer. Both guys are ready, but I personally feel July 24th is too close. I would rather do it in August. But they want to get it out of the way quickly so that whatever happens, whoever goes for the mega fight will be ready by the end of the year. So both fighters ready, fans ready. We want to see the rubber match.
The rubber match set for a new stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. Nnamdi, what can you tell our VOA boxing fans about this venue?
Sonny, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas is where the Raiders Football Club play during the season. It's a brand new stadium that opened in 2020, and it's state of the art, you know, and it's a beautiful stadium. It holds 65,000 people, and this is outdoors. In the summertime, July, outside, and with COVID on the retreat right now, and the big screens, and when you are ringside, Sonny, it's a beautiful place. I'm really looking forward to being the ringside for this fight. So the good thing is that it's going to be outside. It's good thing it's going to hold 65,000 people, and expect a sellout, and we expect a great fight. It's a win-win for everybody. The casinos, the boxing commission, because the live gate alone will be in millions, you know. So it's a beautiful thing. It's not held inside a casino or T-Mobile Arena. It's outside. The fans will love it. And we just look forward to a great fight.
Nnamdi, what's the purse split for this third fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder?
Sonny, the purse split is 60-40. This was agreed upon on the second fight. You remember they had a three-fight deal. The winner of the second fight will get the 60%, which is Tyson Fury. Deontay will get 40%, you know, and that goes down to pay-per-view, to live gate, to sponsorship. So it's a big money anyway you look at it.
Nnamdi, you mentioned Deontay Wilder posting videos and making noise with his new trainer. Talk about his new trainer.
Deontay Wilder fired his team after the last beatdown from Gypsy King, Tyson Fury, and he hired an ex-boxer by name Malik Scott. And Malik Scott was once a heavyweight, you know, but and what we've been seeing, the videos they've been posting, it looks like Deontay Wilder's got his mojo back, and it looks like he really wants it, and he refused to go any other way but go for the direct rematch, you know. So basically, the fighters are ready. We've seen changes. But Tyson Fury's been living it up in Miami, in Las Vegas, and he looks a little bit out of shape. So fans are not really happy with videos of Tyson Fury. He looks like he's taking it lightly because, hey, I beat this guy down the second time I knocked him out. I can just go in and expect an easy fight. But, hey, he may be in for a shocker because If Deontay drops the thunderbolt on him, the Gypsy King will be on the floor and the referee will not even be able to count. So we've seen changes, we've seen videos, and it's all looking good.
I thought it was looking good for Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua, but then that blockbuster bout scheduled for Saudi Arabia got canceled. Namdi, what's been the reaction among fight fans?
Fans not really happy because they believe Deontay Wilder's caught pull the biggest upset of the year without throwing a punch, believe it. When that decision came down by Judge Weinstein, we were all shocked. Fans were not really, really happy, especially the British fans, the UK fans, and they believe American judge just stepped in and just killed the fight of the century, the mega fight. Deontay and his American fans were all happy that the judge ruled in their favor. Who is to blame? Fans are blame basically Tyson Fury and his camp because look at that, Sonny. The money in Saudi Arabia is massive. Each fighter were to make $100 million a piece. The projection for Saudi Arabia for August 14 was $200 million for these two guys. So you will think they will be able to break off Deontay Wilder $20 million step-aside money so they can do their thing in Saudi Arabia and make $200 million plus. No, they said, no, we're not going to give him $20 million because Tyson Fury beat him easily the second time and, you know, all that. Hey, if Deontay Wilder dropped the thunderbolt on Tyson Fury July 24th in Las Vegas, forget about the Saudi money. That Saudi money is gone. And secondly, really, what kind of money are they making July 24th in Las Vegas? They're not going to even make up to $20 million a piece. So in the business world, the smart decision will have been pay this guy his step-aside money, which is $20 million. Tell him to take a chill pill. Let us do this thing in Saudi Arabia. And then we come back and you take on the winner. Then everybody will be happy. But when you said, no, we're not giving you $20 million, and then you go into Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium July 24th and get bombed and you're counted out, you look really stupid. So it's a lot of money on the table in Saudi Arabia. At the end of it, that money can go up in smoke if Deontay Wilder do a number on Tyson Fury.
What about Anthony Joshua, Namdi? What's next for him?
Sonny, the only option left for Anthony Joshua right now, if he wants to keep his World Boxing Association belt, is to fight the number one contender, who's the mandatory contender, Alexander Usyk, former undefeated cruiserweight champion of the world. Usyk is really not a heavyweight. Usyk is a guy that will come in there and make you look bad. He's a southpaw. He does not have the power to hurt Anthony Joshua, but he can make Anthony Joshua look stupid if Anthony Joshua decides to fight a dumb fight. Anthony Joshua must fight a smart fight. And if Anthony Joshua allow him to put a couple of early rounds in the bank, this cat can win an easy unanimous decision and the whole mega fight will be out of the window. It's a very dangerous fight if homeboy decides to just not do the right thing. Do the right thing means cut off the ring, walk him down, stay in the body. If you get him in the first round or in the first second, step in, take him out because you don't want him to hang around. Because if he hangs around, he can steal the fight and you look stupid, you know. So he has to cut the ring off, step into the body, walk him down, just drop some big bumps on the body. Take the legs out. You must take the legs out so that he can't run. And if he's able to achieve that, then it'll be an easy fight. But if he's running after the guy and he's not the ring general that we know, it's going to be a long night for homeboy. So we'd like to see him do his thing, defend the belt, so that when he steps in for the mega fight, regardless of who wins, Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder, then four belts will be on the table and it should be for the undisputed and who the grand poobah of the world, the heavyweight, the baddest man on the planet. Very important, Anthony Joshua, fight a smart fight.
When do you think Joshua will fight Usyk?
We're looking at July, August, definitely this summer, and it will be in the UK, possibly Wembley Stadium. British fans will be happy to see him come back home and fight and bang, and then that'll get everybody ready. Then Deontay and Fury do their thing July 24th. Anthony Joshua, Usyk in August or July. Then we're good. For whatever they're ready to do, the mega fight, we're all ready.
Thanks, Namdi. That's Namdi Hollywood Mueta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. And we'll hear more hard-hitting commentary from Namdi in the days to come.
My name is Shakur Samed, junior brother of Basi Samed Sasamer, a light heavyweight at the Ghana national team and an Olympic qualifier. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Now let's go to Kigali, Rwanda. The Kigali Arena recently hosted the inaugural Basketball Africa League tournament, featuring 12 of Africa's top professional clubs. And the arena will also stage the AfroBasket Championship for 16 of Africa's men's national basketball teams at the end of August. The draw for AfroBasket 2021 was held in Kigali. Group A has host Rwanda, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Angola, and one team still to be determined. Group B has Tunisia, Central African Republic, Egypt, and Guinea. Group C has Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Kenya, and Mali. And Group D has Senegal, Cameroon, South Sudan, and one team still to be determined. Two teams will be added to the AfroBasket field after the completion of Group E, which was suspended due to health concerns. Cape Verde, Morocco, and Uganda will compete for the last two places available for this year's AfroBasket. For reaction to Nigeria's grouping, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the head coach of the Abuja-based Mark Mentors basketball club, Adeka Daudu.
I'm so excited because the Nations Cup draws have finally been drawn. I'm so happy. And I'm seeing in our group, we're seeing Mali, I'm seeing Kenya, I'm seeing Cote d'Ivoire, and the other groups also. But let me just talk about our group. Nigeria won the Nations Cup in 2015 for the very first time. But before then, we've always been on the podium. We've always come third, we've always come fourth, we've always come second. But having won the Nations Cup in 2015, we've never left the podium till date. And what that means is we are a team to beat. We are a strong force here in Africa, and everybody knows that. Looking at the group, I don't think we're going to have any problem coming out of that group. We played Mali severally, and we've known how Mali play. We have almost the same style of game with Mali. They're a very good team, but we've always gone past them. Cote d'Ivoire is a team that we've known for so many years, for ages, and we actually know how they play. So I don't think they are going to be a problem for us. Everybody is talking about Kenya, and they're saying the new bride of the Nations Cup. I'll first of all say congratulations to the Kenyan national team. They are now part of African celebration, you know, in basketball, you know. I'm so excited. I'm happy that they're there, you know. And it's nice to always have fresh countries coming to participate.
Kenya appears to be the surprise team, while Mali and Cote d'Ivoire are familiar foes. Do you see the Nigerian national men's basketball team underrating any of them?
Nigeria never and will never underrate any African team when it comes to basketball. We don't underrate teams. People always look up to us that we are a team to beat, and that is the truth. Why are we called the Giants of Africa? We're all over the world. We have bunch and bunch of talents spread across the world, and you never can tell where we're going to come from. We have so much strong forces all over. Here in the local scene, we have good players in America, in Europe, in Asia. We have everybody. There's so much players all over the world, and that is why they say we are very strong, because in our diversity we have strength. And I think that has been helping us all these years. And so I don't think Kenya is going to be a surprise for us. We're going to play them like we play any other country. Yes, they have beaten the Angolan team, which is a strong force in Africa. But I don't think that has anything to do with Nigeria. We're just we. We have our own style of play. We have our ways of doing things. We think differently. And so with the caliber of players that are going to play in the Nations Cup, I bet you we are a team to beat. So coming out of this group is not going to be a big problem for us. We are going to come out of that group very easily, I must say, very easily, yes. I am looking at the other teams. I'm happy that we're not in the group of death, because I see Group B as the group of death, where we have the Tunisians and the Egyptians. That's where the game is. That's the group of death. And so I'm looking forward to the semifinal games. Whoever comes, we're going to take them the way they come. And I see us getting into the finals. It's not a big deal. This should be our bet, right? We have the players. We have the caliber. You go to the NBA, we have the players. You come to Africa, we have the players. We have the coaches, you know. So I'm not scared. I'm in fact absolutely confident that our team will get into the finals.
Nigeria is blessed with lots of basketball players at home and abroad. What should be done to make them formidable?
There are other things that I think, you know, we need to think about. I mean, because we're spread all over the world, we need to find a way to harness our strength together, bring everybody close together. How do we become a strong force in the world? I think we, for me, my opinion is we get a coach, a qualified coach here in Nigeria that is going to stay here in Nigeria and try to create a bond where we have synergies of players here in Africa, players in Europe, you know, players at the local scene, so that we'll be working together. There will be competitions where he will be able to synergize everybody to, you know, coordinate everybody, so to say, and then, you know, from there we can begin to pick players year in, year out for various tournaments. We need tournaments. We need so much tournaments. And I pray that our league, after the Olympics, the league is going to come back in full force, because that is where our strength is. I'm looking at, and I'm hoping also that our league will become a very strong league, you know. I think those are one of the ways we can become very formidable. You know, we are so blessed. We are blessed with talents, bunch of talents. And I keep saying it, and I'll say it again, our strength is in our diversity, in our spread. And that is where the strength of our games are. You cannot predict Nigeria. Today, you might see a group of players that are different from another set of players tomorrow. And so it is just a blessing for us. So I see us doing very well in the Nations Cup, and I see that that everybody will love to see. We're happy that there are some new teams coming into play. But why are we called Giants of Africa? Because we are strong. Because we have everything it takes to win laurels. And I don't see us failing in this regard. We're going to do well. I see us doing well in the Nations Cup. I want to say thank you very much, everybody. VOA, I'm so excited to be part of you. Sonny, my guy.
This is Sonny Title Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
It's nice speaking with you. Have a great day, and bye-bye from me.
And thanks to Adeka Daudu for that VOA Sunny Side of Sports shout-out. I loved it, Adeka. Adeka is the head coach of Mark Mentor's basketball club, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. Now let's go to New York City, where the Brooklyn Nets beat the Boston Celtics Tuesday night, 123-109, to advance to the second round of the National Basketball Association playoffs. The Nets won the series 4-1. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
James Harden had 34 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists for his first postseason triple-double, leading the Nets to a 123-109 win over the Celtics.
We had a mindset to continue to get better, both offensively and defensively. We're going to be a special team. So just lock in on the details.
Kyrie Irving scored 25 points, and Kevin Durant had 24 for the Nets, who will face the Bucks in their first appearance in the second round since 2014.
We forced Boston out of a lot of their actions. We made him shoot tough shots over us, and we made him play one-on-one. And I think you got to tip your hat to some of the guys that make tough shots. They got some bucket getters over there.
Brooklyn reeled off an 11-2 burst in less than 90 seconds, taking a 108-91 lead midway through the fourth quarter. Jason Tatum had 32 points and 9 rebounds for the Celtics.
Not the season we hoped for, that we envisioned, you know, coming together at the start of it. But there's a lot of things that we had to deal with and try to overcome.
The Nets will begin their Eastern Conference semifinal series with the Bucks on Saturday in Brooklyn. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona, the Phoenix Suns routed the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers by 30 points to take a 3-2 lead in their first-round playoff series. The AP's George Tanner reports.
Devin Booker led the way with 30 points. The Suns buried the Lakers 115-85 to take a 3-2 lead in their best-of-7 series. Phoenix used a 19-1 run in the second quarter to build a 30-point halftime lead against the defending champs.
There's nobody that's scared of the moment. You know, there's nobody that hasn't prepared for this moment. You know, this isn't new. This is how we've been playing for most of the season.
Suns guard Chris Paul left the game in the third quarter. The Lakers played without their injured forward, Anthony Davis. George Tanner, Phoenix.
Thanks, George. In Denver, Colorado, the Denver Nuggets scored a 147-140 victory against the Portland Trailblazers in a thrilling NBA playoff game that went into 2 overtime periods. The Nuggets now lead this first-round series 3-2. Portland guard Damian Lillard scored a team playoff record 55 points. But it was not enough.
It don't matter. We lost the game. So, I mean, at this point, all that matters is we can't lose another game in this series. So, we go out there, we play to win the game, and we came up short. So, we going back home. It's a must win, or else our season's over.
Meanwhile, Michael Porter Jr. scored 26 points for the Nuggets. He says good team basketball helped overcome the big scoring night by Damian Lillard.
We didn't hang our head after, you know, Dame was going insane. That was unbelievable what he was doing out there, and we combated it. You know what I'm saying? It was a total team effort tonight. And I'm proud of everybody.
That's Michael Porter Jr. of the NBA's Denver Nuggets team. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ranked the best quarterfinaler in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America.
Turning to tennis, Serbian star Novak Djokovic is through to the second round of the French Open after a straight sets victory against American tennis Sandgren. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Novak Djokovic cruised into the second round of the French Open under the bright lights of Philippe Chartier Court in the first men's match to be played at night. An enforced curfew meant that no spectators were in attendance, and immediately following his straight set victory, victory with his voice echoing through the empty stadium, Djokovic said he hoped to play his next match in front of fans.
Honored to be the first men's match night session ever in Roland Garros. Was quite different, I must say. A little bit strange to play under the lights. They were very bright tonight, to be honest. In front of empty stadium, unfortunately, but you know, I'm looking forward to next match. Hopefully I can have some crowd on the court as well.
Djokovic later spoke in front of a crowd of reporters and talked about Naomi Osaka's decision to withdraw from the tournament. This week, Osaka, who is ranked second in the world, was fined for not attending a post-match press conference. Osaka faced a potential expulsion for failing to meet her media obligations, but instead she pulled out of the tournament, citing concerns about her mental health. Djokovic said while he believes press conferences are part of the job, he understands Osaka's decision to boycott interviews, as he too has dealt with his share of challenges in front of the media.
The media is important without a doubt. You know, it's allowing us to have the platform to communicate with the fans, but in a more traditional way. But it used to be the only way how we can reach out to our fans, right? In the last 5 years or maybe 10 years, it's not the case anymore. We have our own platforms, our own social media accounts through which we are able to communicate directly with fans. So, and Naomi, she's very young and she grew up with, you know, obviously with social media and ability to speak out through her channels. And look, I can understand her very well, and I empathize with her because I was on the wrong edge of the sword in my career many times with media. I know how it feels. I support her. I think she was very brave to do that. I'm really sorry that she is going through painful times and suffering mentally, as what I've heard. I haven't spoken to her, but it seems like she has been struggling. And I wish her all the best. I hope she recovers. She's very important player and brand for and person for our sport. So we need to have her back. This was, I must say, a very bold decision from her side. But she knows how she feels best. And if she needs to take time and reflect and just recharge, and you know, that's what she needed to do, and I respect it fully, and I hope that she'll come back stronger.
The world number one will next face Pablo Cuevas of Uruguay on Thursday. Djokovic is hoping to clinch his 19th major title and narrow the gap on 20-time Grand Slam champions Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, who have both advanced to the second round of the tournament. Nadal claimed a straight-set victory of his own on Tuesday against Australian Alexei Popyrin. Nadal's next match, which happens to fall on his 35th birthday, day will be against Frenchman Richard Gasquet on Thursday. Also that day, Roger Federer will play his second round match against Italian Matteo Berrettini, and we're keeping an eye on second seed Daniil Medvedev, who will face American Tommy Paul on Wednesday. On the women's side, top-ranked Australian Ash Barty fought through an injury to defeat American Barnata Parra in her opening match on Tuesday. Barty has returned to the French Open after her maiden Grand Slam win in 2019. She skipped the tournament last year because of the coronavirus pandemic, and last month she retired from the Italian Open quarterfinals due to problems with her right arm. But on Tuesday, it was a hip flare-up that hampered her first-round match, and despite her win, Barty told reporters she could be facing a tough week.
I'm not going to hide behind the fact that I'm not quite 100%, but I can guarantee that I'll go out there with the right attitude every day and be really accepting of that and give it a crack no matter what.
Barty's next round match will be against Poland's Magda Linette on Thursday. More tennis news to come. For now, I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the June 2nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.